Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, I'm going to say farewell to the legend Bill Withers. But first, we've got some new music to review.
Greg, spring's always a big release season. We did some anticipated record reviews a few weeks ago. I think there's even more excitement about some of the ones we're going to tackle this week. We're going to share our thoughts on them, starting out with a new album by The Strokes. That was a track called Bad Decisions by The Strokes. The Strokes, of course, burst out of New York City in the now rapidly being mythologized era of 2000-2001. An explosion of activity in New York, kind of unparalleled since the punk era. Bands like the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, LCD Sound System, and probably most hyped of all, The Strokes, led by Julian Casablancas. After the first full-length album, Is This It?, came Room on Fire, First Impressions on Earth, Future, Present, Past, other records, and then kind of began to fracture. We got Strokes albums in between lots of solo albums and other projects. Now it's been quite some time, 7 years, since a new Strokes record has come down the pike. This is their sixth overall studio album, and they turned to that master of mid-career revitalization, Rick Rubin, who's done the same for many bands over the years. What are The Strokes giving us on this new record, The New Abnormal? A title, I will note, that was chosen well before the COVID-19 shutdown. We're going to play a track and then come back and give our opinions. This is Brooklyn Bridge to Chorus by The Strokes from The New Abnormal on Sound Opinions.
One shot is never enough. I just wait for us to go in circles. A lifetime of giving up. Oh, you
are stuck. Give me a break. Don't sit in the bubble of air.
And Fussy would tell me I'm his friend. Actually, no thanks. I'm okay. Nanny would send we lost my way.
That is Brooklyn Bridge to Chorus from The Strokes. The new album is The New Abnormal. And I can't help but feel that the last decade, especially for The Strokes, has been kind of a waste. They're either not putting out records or they're putting out not very good ones. I have to say, this record does show a few more signs of life than perhaps the last two or maybe even three Strokes records. There are moments where you feel like it's a real band again. I think that opening track, The Adults Are Talking.
They've been saying they're sophisticated. They're complaining, overeducated.
Track like Bad Decisions. Those are decent tracks that would fit alongside the best of The Strokes. So that's not exactly a new move. What I am hearing, though, and I don't think this is a new problem with The Strokes, is that the Julian Casablancas solo machine has taken off and left the rest of the band behind. I think Casablancas has improved mightily as a vocalist. I mean, he basically had one riff when he started out. It was that sort of deadpan, New York cool vocal style.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's developed a few new moves. I mean, there's definitely a sense of growth there as a singer. But he has become such a focal point alongside those keyboard textures, which he also uses when he's doing his own records, that you wonder what the rest of the band has to do and why they're even calling themselves a band. Well, I have one theory. What they have become is a meal ticket that can sell out easily mid-sized arenas or theaters. And is that a reason to go on? Well, apparently it is. Again, signs of life here, a lot of self-referential tracks. We can't help it if we're a problem. We're trying hard to get your attention. It's almost like you're abandoning us. Oh, woe was us. There's another beautiful line in there where he's talking about, why are Sundays so depressing? He says, all my friends left and they don't miss me. Could be talking about some personal affairs, but I can't help but feel he's reflecting on the band's own career. Like, and you know, they are getting some of the worst reviews of their career in the last decade, and I would say for good reason. When they titled that first record, Is This It? Well, I'm kind of thinking it was.
Well, it absolutely was, Greg. I am less of a fan of this record than you are, although I think I was the bigger Strokes fan early on. Every record that followed Is This It was half as good as the one before. And now, six records in, there's just nothing left. You know, the strength of the band, one of the key strengths was always drummer Fabrizio Moretti. You know, an incredible hard-hitting drummer taking that sound of the Velvet Underground and the Feelies up a notch. And, you know, this is all mid-tempo, kind of stuck in a rut. Music, you know, I mean, we could pull out any of the lyrics and laugh at them. You mentioned that one about the friends. How about in Ode to the New York Mets? I was just bored playing the guitar, learned all your tricks, wasn't too hard.
I was just bored playing the guitar, learned all your tricks, wasn't too hard.
No, Julian, it would be nice if you worked a little bit harder. We do not read other people's reviews before we craft our reviews of a record. But the number of people tweeting me and emailing me about how excited they are to have the Strokes back, I can't believe it. I can't believe that it's based on this record. Yeah, go out and play Is This It again and you'll get excited again. But, you know, there are two things that drag this record down. One you already mentioned, ennui. I'm becoming both a more generous critic and a harsher critic the longer I'm trapped in my house, okay? I'm happy to hear music that uplifts me more so than ever. And also, I got no tolerance for nonsense. Ennui is one of the most destructive forces in the history of rock and roll. You're sitting there feeling sorry for yourself. I got no time for you, okay? The other thing is nostalgia. All right, I don't understand this fascination with Meet Me in the Bathroom and that period. You know, the music that's good holds up, but people wanting to relive that now and feeling like, I remember the good old days, you know, at the Mercury Lounge. It's like, oh, man, give me a break. It's just obnoxious.
Because I'm heartless.
That is a little bit of a track called Heartless from the new album by The Weeknd, After Hours. Greg, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Abel Tesfaye is the most important voice in R&B in the last decade, right? Or certainly one of the top two,
well, certainly
or three.
One of them for sure.
And here he is with a much anticipated new album, his fourth studio effort. In 2011, The Weeknd debuted with three mixtapes. They were packaged into a proper album. This child of Ethiopian immigrants raised in Toronto has since become a superstar, an unlikely one, much like Drake in the hip-hop world, self-focused much of the time, but also a pop star. What is he giving us on this new album, his fourth proper studio effort? Let's play a track and dive deep into what we think The Weeknd is doing on After Hours. This is a song called Blinding Lights on Sound Opinions.
I've been trying to call. I've been on my own for long enough. Maybe you can show me how to love.
controls. You don't even have to do too much. You can turn me on with just a touch, baby.
That is a song called Blinding Lights from the latest Weekend album, After Hours, his fourth studio album, as Jim mentioned. We have an artist here who is all about musical contradictions, that claustrophobic interior world that he was painting with those early EPs. And lately, he's become an R&B star. He's trying to integrate those two worlds, and he's probably done a better job of it on this record than he has recently, I think. Blinding Lights is an example, an extreme example of where he's going with the pop sound. I mean, you got Max Martin to produce a track, you're going to get upbeat, dancey, synth pop, a nostalgic sound in some ways.
Yeah, it's kind of an 80s, 80s dance floor groover, yeah.
Totally. And then you've got a track like After Hours, which sounds to me very nightmarish and very much in keeping with the template set by those early EPs. You know, this insomniac vibe, this the reverberating, echoing percussion. It's almost like a typewriter tapping away at his skull or something like that. It's very, you know, interior world kind of sound. Again, he's singing about this whole notion of isolation and loneliness, and you go, at a time of social distancing, I mean, what could be a more appropriate soundtrack for what people are going through now? You know, that vulnerable predator thing, you know, the contrast between it's hard to let me go, you know, is that a boast or a threat, as he's talking about in Hardest to Love? Or in something like Faith. I mean, what a creepy song. If IOD, I want you to follow right behind. You know, I mean, these relationships are toxic to an nth degree. And it's like, do you really like this narrator? You may not necessarily like this guy, but at the end of the record, you kind of understand him more and you realize he's really in bad shape, and so are the people he's hanging out with. So it's almost difficult to be enthusiastic about The Weeknd, but he's so canny in the way he delivers these hooks and with the vulnerability that he's projecting on his vocals that I find myself fascinated by these records.
No, the voice is a powerful one, Greg, and that combination of veering between a very dark, psychedelic, electronic kind of background on the down songs and the bursts of exuberance on those dance floor tracks, like the one that played us in, it's effective. But yes, I don't think I like Abel Tesfaye. When he sings, you know, I don't know if I can be alone again on Alone Again, and you feel that pain. I don't think he likes women, but I don't think he likes anybody, starting with himself.
I don't think he likes himself.
I don't think he likes himself. But so why is this different than Drake's solipsism? I think he's a much more complicated and ultimately much more honest songwriter. But it is not an easy listen. And, you know, I think the challenge we're going to have in this moment and in the weeks to come is to not hear everything as a response, because this is an album that's been in the works for months, right? You are social distance too long, and you begin to think that you're not worthy of being with other people. And right. And I think Abel Tesfaye, The Weeknd, is got some work to do on himself before he is. It has nothing to do with social distancing. So let's not put everything through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
After the break, we're going to review more anticipated new musical releases, including the latest from Fiona Apple and Lucinda Williams. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.